Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hope everyone had a good Father's Day weekend. Happy Monday. No transition today. Dan and Connor out at Brickhouse Tavern with a whole cast of characters from the Cubs. So McNeil and Parkins get started early. What up, Danny Mac?
Yeah, it was a Cubs party at Brickhouse. We've been over there this year a few times. An air of expectancy as the Cubs return home. And the great news is Javier Baez's left elbow is just fine.
And they keep taking two out of three.
Yes, win series.
Win series, keep advancing. That's a good path to 94-95 wins.
Stacking series victories. You remember Dick Geron when he used to say we need to stack wins?
Yes.
And a win is, but a series is two out of three wins. That seems like a more meaningful stack.
Well, I mean,
it's a big stack.
That is a nice little, it's a very high stack to see. Kind of like that buffalo chicken waffle cone, just like a nice stack of chicken in there out at Brickhouse.
Oh, the creamy blue cheese.
I know.
Just delightful. And because Brian Gersh was in Wrigleyville today for the Facebook stream, he won't be back here for an hour, so I can enjoy during breaks eating these wonderful raw vegetables. They're so much fun to eat. We had a few listeners text on Friday. The hell are you eating, Mac? Because they were watching. We're on during breaks still.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's nothing exciting. It's what food eats, really. It's yeah. I'm deluding myself again into thinking raw vegetables are delicious.
Yeah, well, they say you need to have a colorful diet, right? That is certainly colorful.
Yes.
I don't know if it's any good, though.
Every hue is represented.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, and so are you shy eating in front of our Facebook stream?
I typically don't eat during the show, but I'm trying to eat healthier. So I find if I snack a little bit on, you know, not so much fun food during the show, I'll eat less when I go home.
That's smart. I'm still trying to eat healthy also, but the radio diet is impossible. They'll show up and they'll be like, oh, here's 100 buffalo wings in a tray.
Yeah, every Friday night, Aurelio's Pizza, which is my hometown pizza, and they're an advertiser of the Cubs right here on the Score. They bring in pizzas for all of us, and I can't. It's my hometown pizza. I've got to have two or three pieces before I leave.
Yeah, it's just a snack pizza.
two or three pieces, right. It's an appetizer.
It's a little pre-dinner snack before I go home, and then Steph will be like, so did you eat anything at work today? I'm like, no. No, I'm ready for your dinner.
So she's lie about that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, she's like, what's that tomato sauce? Aurelio's. Bested again. But seriously, good stuff from Dan and Connor out there with all the Cubs. They got a bonus Cub, Luke Farrell, just thrown in as a little add-on.
Yeah, I think he might have been added as insurance in the event Baez were running late.
Or
out.
Unavailable. For a minute there, it was that Javi was not going to be available at all, but it's cool that he kept up his obligation, even in the midst of the potential extra treatment or whatever. But all's well that ends well with that hit. It looked like it on TV. Like that it looked like he got hit in the funny bone, but when the ball's going 95 miles an hour, you don't know if anything more serious is happening.
It did. I think it was the second replay they showed. Caught him square on the elbow.
Yeah.
Yes, and there's nothing funny about it. You know why they call it the funny bone?
Humorous?
It is the humorous bone, yes, yeah. But there's nothing funny about it when it gets hit by a baseball.
I probably should up my level of day-to-day intellect if you are genuinely shocked that I knew that it was the humerus. I got to just do better, because remember bicep and tricep? We struggled with that.
Yeah, well, we don't anymore. We've learned.
Yeah.
Biceps, two groups of muscles. Triceps, three groups of muscles. Yeah.
This is the ish show.
It's very ishy.
Smart-ish. But how was your Father's Day, my friend?
I had a fantastic weekend. Thank you for asking.
Of course.
It seemed like everywhere I went over the weekend, people knew I was an old man with kids. Because everywhere I went, people were saying, Happy Father's Day. I just must have that fatherly look. And I spent a lot of time with all three of my boys over the weekend, and it was terrific.
It must be, it's your age, I think.
That could have something.
They just
but
assume.
Don't assume a guy in his mid-50s has got kids. Some aren't lucky enough.
No, for sure. I actually, there was a woman that was crossing the street At the same time as me, but she started to walk, anticipating the walk signal from the stop hand, but the left arrow was coming,
right.
And it's my home intersection. And I said, hey, you know, watch out. Like, we have about 10 more seconds here. The cars are going to be coming. And she backed up, and she's like, oh, thank you so much. And so then we crossed the street together, and she said, and have a happy Father's Day if you're a father.
Oh, that's very sweet of both of you.
It was, yeah, right. I helped a lady.
You pulled her back from her potential death.
Yeah.
And she could have perished in that accident.
Exactly. You would think that they would have seen her coming, but, I mean, you know, the intersection around where I live is very dangerous, and so there's accidents all the time that we could see from the deck, and so I did my little good deed as a good Samaritan. I felt good, and then I was like, oh, thank you so much, because I didn't want to get into it. Like, no, I don't have kids. We're thinking about it. So
well, with what you pay for dental bills on your dog, you might as well consider your dog one of your children.
I know. My wife gave me a card from the dog. I shared this on Mother's Day that she expected a card from the dog, and so she returned the favor for Father's Day. It's probably the whitest thing that we do. Just she wakes me up in the morning, she's like, happy dog dad day. I'm like, okay.
No, she's got to cover Facebook with it to make it completely white.
True. Yeah. I think she posted on Instagram.
Okay.
Actually, to make up for it. But you had a good weekend?
Yeah, outstanding. My youngest son has taken an interest in cooking, so it was fun to spend time with him. As we did crab legs yesterday, and I had a big pot of Italian beef. Sherry's father came over. All of my sons were over after I played 9 holes with my oldest. They played 18. He and his buddy played 18, but I had to get back home. I didn't want to desert everyone else, so I only played 9. But the golf angel landed on my shoulder, and I'm ready to get back out.
Yeah?
Oh, man. When you're going well, you don't want to stop.
No, I agree. What'd you post for a 9-hole score?
It wasn't the greatest. I shot 41, and now that's on a par 35, front 9. So it's
not a good score.
Well, yeah, especially given a couple of double bogeys. I had 2 doubles. I had no triples on the day, but no one cares about my golf score. The thing is,
I care.
When you're feeling good about your golf game, that's when you want to feed that addiction. You got to get out right away. And the Cubs have a matinee getaway for the Dodgers Wednesday.
I know. I'm unavailable to golf. I don't know if that was an invitation, but
it was.
I thought it might have been based on your body language. I'm unavailable Wednesday morning. However, the next getaway day. The next day.
Okay, there will be a few more.
We got a few, and I know there's a couple 4th of July weekend, but I think there's at least one next weekend, but they're on the West Coast, so the game starts at 2, so we might have to be here at 1, which complicates things.
That's doable. No, we could do it on a typical show if you want. If you don't have an objection, do a 7 a.m. tee box.
None at all.
Tea time, I should say.
I'm
a tee box.
A tee box.
Well, no, have your 7 a.m. tee box and like it.
We're professionals. But I mean, a 41, my goodness, that's a very impressive score.
Yeah, well, when you make your first birdie of the year and it's, you know, after you've only played 1 round and you get excited about it, when you start to feel comfortable and confident that every ball you roll is going in the cup, because my putting has improved tremendously the last couple of years, which is good because I can't get off the tee anymore.
Oh, really? So
yeah, my long game has left me. You know what it is? It's the ruptured biceps.
Mm.
2 of them.
And
they're
to the texters asking about quadriceps.
Yeah.
4.
You nailed it.
4.
You nailed it. This guy has a degree in biology. Forget that communications background at the Syracuse University.
Feel free to tweet me any questions you might have about your anatomy. That came out wrong. But yeah, I'll see you on a tee box, my friend.
I'll see you on the golf course. You're in for half of 80,000.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slice. Are you more of a slicer or a hooker?
I'm a pusher. I never slice. I just push it to the right a little bit, but I don't hit driver very often anymore, and that's the key to better scoring for me.
Takes tremendous discipline not to pull the driver out of the bag on
it
a par
does.
5.
It does. It absolutely does. But if you hit long irons well, it becomes less problematic. I can get to 380 yards in 2 with my 3 iron easily if I'm on.
Nicely done. Yeah, I the 3-iron and the 4-iron never come out of the bag for me. Those clubs are tough to hit for me.
Most people don't favor hitting the 3-iron. In fact, I think golf club manufacturers are now starting their sets with a 4-iron. I don't even know if many of them have the 3-iron anymore because everybody loves the hybrid club.
Right, the 7-wood and the 9-wood and those things are coming, becoming much more in vogue. Had a nice weekend up in the burbs. My dad, of course, was very busy manning the grill. He cooked out ribs for the whole family. My brother came in with a nephew. It was lovely. And then I was going to surprise this for you, but he was, you know, he's the smoke and he's grilling. And so he's just wearing like a.
He was smoking?
Well, no. But he's wearing like a grungy polo shirt for cooking and ribs and barbecue sauce. Uh-huh. And he was up at 6:30 in the morning. The polo shirt, the 5th annual Mac Yurko and Harry golf outing polo shirt.
Is that right?
Yeah. He didn't play in the tournament, but I don't know if he was there or if I brought it home from an internship. Or...
Probably. You probably snuck into the promotions closet.
Yeah, how?
Back in the era when stations had promotions closets.
Right. It was probably a Father's Day gift of mine that I didn't spend any money on back in the day, but he was wearing it and he was like, look at this, full circle. And
that's
like,
nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
And was he a listener of that program?
Yeah, a little. You know what I mean? He's not a diehard sports radio guy, but especially when I started to come and intern for the show and talked as glowingly about it as I did in my sophomore and junior year of high school, that era, he started to check it out, and yeah, he was a fan.
Good.
Yeah, so he still had the polo shirt. It held up well.
That's very nice, and now he's got rib sauce all over. And yeah. Put a little spray and wash, it'll come right out.
Come right out. But the U.S. Open, I don't know how much of it you took in.
A ton.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. It was we'll get to the Phil stuff in a second. I found myself having a little bit of remorse for our stance on Thursday and Friday about the U.S. Open and what we want out of that golf tournament, where the best thing, it's supposed to be tough, an even par should win, and we like watching the players struggle. And then they had to change the course dramatically from Saturday to Sunday to kind of save face because the players were constantly complaining. And they changed the whole facet of the golf tournament and overcompensated for it a little bit. There was no scoring. Like, in order to score...
That's the point of a U.S. Open.
Yeah, but the guys who teed off early were able to score. Because the wind conditions hadn't picked up. I mean, there was a 63.
Some of those greens were beaten to hell. Yes, the 63 yesterday. How about that?
From Fleetwood. But because they changed it and they watered the greens and from Saturday to Sunday, guys were complaining about the pin placements and that the greens were too fast with the wind and the bumpiness on Saturday. So they're taking all this crap, the USGA is, so they water everything. And then Fleetwood goes out and shoots the low round in U.S. Open history, ties it at a 63, but... For the most part, you know, and I watched basically every shot Sunday once the leaders teed off. A bunch of it was before, you know, they were really even showing much of the coverage. There wasn't quite enough shot making for me to feel totally engrossed by the tournament.
I understand that because I like it when birdies are happening right and left as well, but you can always go back to the following weekend and you'll see that. This is one of maybe 5 or 6 tournaments every year, championship in this case for the Open, where it's not going to be that way. And you know that going in. But I understand why you feel that. It's kind of like watching World Cup soccer when you see a shot on goal every 25 minutes, right? You want people to score. It's more exciting. I get that.
Yeah, and it was just odd to me that the USGA like clearly was hearing the criticism and that the Sunday version of Shinnecock was so different than the Thursday, Friday, Saturday version. I was like, well, either have your convictions and be okay with 5-6 over par winning the damn
thing. Which is it? Pick a lane.
Yeah. And so I was just confused because I watched a lot of the tournament on Saturday, more than I was even expecting to. And as a novice golf observer, you could tell how different it was with the guys going at the pins more on Sunday. It was just a totally different course.
I'll go Phil Mickelson on his colleagues. Those members of the tour who whined about how the course was playing. Get tough.
Yeah.
Toughen up a little bit.
Yeah. Patrick Reed, right in his exit interview, right off the tee at 18, and he had a great finish backing up his Masters performance. He was like, I thought for the most part it was fine, but the flags, I think he said 13, 15, and one other, he was like, they were just ungettable. And so he was complaining about it. Maybe they shouldn't be gettable. But I found myself conflicted with my own opinion from Thursday and Friday. Because it wasn't as enjoyable watching.
Is that possibly because you have no affection for the guy who wound up winning
Brooks Koepka?
Yeah.
Steve Cishek.
He does have a little Cishek in him. Brooks Koepka.
Look
at that birdie putt go.
Did it you know, that's possible.
That has something to do with it.
It did feel... It should have felt like a bigger deal that there was a back-to-back U.S. Open champion.
Right?
Yeah, it should have felt bigger than it did. No question. And is that because of the Phil controversy? Is that because Dustin Johnson's up there and he's such a big name? Why is that? Because I mean, Curtis Strange was on the telecast, the last guy to go back-to-back in the Open.
Right.
And it still didn't feel very big.
Yeah, almost 30 years ago. Was it 88, 89,
correct.
I think.
Correct. 88, 89.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just don't know if he's the type of player who elicits a lot of emotion from fans. He doesn't from me.
No.
You want to see guys you're more familiar with. And I'm not that familiar with him, even though he's a U.S. Open defending champion going in.
Pretty remarkable. I mean, he played great. Lots of ups and downs, and he was scrambling all over the place. Like, that was U.S. Open golf.
Yes, and Dustin Johnson went back to being a rockhead on the green, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Oh, boy.
And speaking of him being a rockhead, did you see the video online of Paulina Gretzky, his wife, fiance, girlfriend, his wife now at this point, when he putts in for birdie, I think on 17 or 18 at the end? And she starts, like, jumping for joy with her girlfriends because she thought that the birdie had won it because she's a little off on the scorekeeping. Not quite as much going on up there, I don't think, with that couple.
Well, maybe not.
I'm just saying.
But from below the neck, they're both outstanding.
Fantastic. It was an over-the-top.
I don't know which one I'd want more.
I know. Seriously. I mean, to be able to hit the ball. I mean, Dustin Johnson was carrying the ball, like, 320.
Yes,
I mean, pretty remarkable. By the way, our conversation today brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. I was able to give my dad a pair of tickets to Northwestern Notre Dame for Father's Day.
And he's going to enjoy that. And a little bit of Notre Dame news. It's not news relevant to the football team itself, but their veteran broadcast tandem of Don Crickey and Alan Pinkett, the former Notre Dame star from the mid-80s, they are out. They're gone. They're off the broadcast.
Yeah, Pinkett said that their plan is they want someone more local, like live in South Bend local, because they want to do some packages during the week, and they wanted somebody who was there.
Pinkett lives in Valparaiso, Indiana, which is kind of between here and South Bend. He works in the city, I'm pretty sure. And Valpo's an easy drive. He could have made it. That's a bum excuse, isn't it?
It seems like a cop-out, not knowing the inner workings of it, but he's been there since 2001, and we're not that far away from the start of football season.
It's
a huge job to come open this close to the start of the season.
It really is. Do you remember how he made news? Alan Pinkett, good old number 20, right here on the Score, Sports Radio 670, maybe 6 years ago? 7 years ago?
It was 2012, because it was the year they went and wound up going to the national championship game, I remember.
That's right. It was right before they were in Dublin. In fact, they were en route to Dublin. Alan Pinkett made the flight with them to Dublin and then was told by the athletic director to turn around and come home based on things he said right here.
Okay. I have a vague memory. I see the headline. Were you involved?
Yes.
What did he say?
Yeah, Speaks and I interviewed him, and he talked about Notre Dame needing a few more troublemakers. He didn't use the word convicts, I don't think, but he said they could use a few more guys who have an ugly side, and people inferred from that he would promote a university that has no standards, and I don't think that's what he was trying to imply.
We have it right here.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The Chicago Wolves are making big plans for their 25th anniversary. Get your season tickets now and receive exclusive benefits. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. We're McNeil and Parkins on the Score. In the 3 o'clock hour, we're giving away a pair of Dave Matthews tickets. In the 4 o'clock hour, a pair of tickets to see the Foo Fighters. And in the 5 o'clock hour, a child can go to a Chicago Bulls Sox Academy basketball camp. The value, well over $200.
Very nice.
For a little summer camp.
Those are all good prizes. What's your favorite song from the Foo Fighters?
Oh, it would have to be off their first album, the one of the original deep cuts track.
Humor me with a name.
I can't name a Foo Fighters.
I'm going to shock everybody here. Monkey Wrench be my favorite Foo Fighters song.
I was going to say that. You stole it right.
I don't remember anything from our youth of Foo Fighters. Like Everlong. Everlong, like Everlong. The sappy, not sappy, but it's like in a lot of like montages. And
Shep, I'm telling you, you would destroy me in a music trivia contest.
That's not good for you.
I know.
You ever seen Varsity Blues?
Have I seen Varsity Blues? Of course.
My Hero. There goes my hero.
Stop singing.
No. Eli, you keep singing. You keep singing.
See, it's people like Eli that keep me from putting my voice out there around Christmas time. Because the naysayers like Eli to my right.
Mac and I will encourage you. Eli is only temporarily in for Tanny. You bite your tongue, Eli. He can sing whatever he wants to.
He doesn't have a permanent spot on the roster just yet.
It's the bullying of the people like Eli that make me turtle back into my shell.
So I know that song, and I know that song from Varsity Blues. So excellent reference
there
out of you.
There you go. See?
But there's something wrong with my brain. Many things, in fact. But one of them is I can recognize a song. If it was in a TV show, if it was in a movie, that association with music, no problem. But if you're like, who is that band? Like, or what is that sound like? No ability to recognize singers, rockers, musicians, anything.
And that's not something that you need to be for this particular vocation. It comes up from time to time, but no one's going to get upset. At least I'm never going to get upset. And I think one thing that's been really cool about the generational divide between us, to much of the delight of some of our younger listeners, that I'm no longer sitting here 5 days a week talking about AC/DC and the Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin. I've backed off on it. Largely because you don't speak the language, but I've realized a lot of people don't.
Yeah, well,
there's lots of people who don't.
They don't. And listen, I know that I am the outlier in how little music truly impacts and influences my life. I've had fun at 100% of the concerts that I've gone to. Like, I just, they're all professional musicians.
That's a pretty good record.
I always have a buzz going, and I'm always enjoying myself. But it could be. It could be music that I would say that I like, that I don't like, whatever the case may be. It's just live music.
You've never had a lousy time at a show, maybe based on company or something that happened?
I don't think so.
Really? How many shows have you been to?
25, 30.
Wow.
Somewhere in that vicinity. Okay. I mean, one time T.I. at a concert in Cornell, it was so hot that he like started playing the like popping of the Glock sound effect because the student body was throwing water bottles onto the stage and like flicking caps all over the place. And he said he was going to come. This was right around when he had the weapons charge issue. And so he said he was going to come out there and show these college kids what it would really look like. And it's like that was a little awkward. I will admit that is probably the worst concert I've ever been to. But no, I mean, I've seen good alternative music, rock music, rap music. I've enjoyed it all.
Here's Tony Womack. As you were going through a list, I'm hearing Pat Hughes in my head because I love when Pat does a list. But yeah, that's very cool.
Mumford & Sons, I enjoyed. I saw Jack White, that was great. The Stones, Billy Joel, Jay-Z, Kanye. I'll do it whenever you want. Let's do a show outing at a concert.
If we could make that work somehow, I would do it. It wouldn't be the first time we've done something like that.
Really?
Here at the Score. Yeah, we did a promotion in 94 where the afternoon show took listeners to a Stones concert. We didn't do the show from the Stones concert, but we did a promotion where we took listeners.
That would be amazing. I'm taking my mom to see Billy Joel at Wrigley in September.
Yeah.
That'll be my...
Let me know how that goes.
Yeah. It'll be my third time seeing Billy Joel.
I've seen Billy enough. I've seen Billy enough at Wrigley in particular. Last time I saw him there, he mailed it in.
Did he?
I thought he gave very little effort.
Wow, that's disappointing.
Yeah, and I really had a terrible objection to the people who were running the Jumbotron, too. We don't need to see fans arm-in-arm singing on every song. On every song, they were on the Jumbotron. People having fun. I won't have it.
You wanted to see Billy.
Well, I understand why they want to make people feel like they're a part of the show when you throw them up there. You know what? Piano Man. That's a good time to just use the Jumbotron exclusively for the crowd reacting to Piano Man.
Yeah.
But I'd rather see the Piano Man from an overhead camera some of the time instead of seeing some goof in section 112.
How many times have you seen Billy Joel at Wrigley?
Once.
Oh, okay. So once was too many.
Yeah, and I don't feel like I even saw him. I was just watching people dancing on the big screen.
You gotta get better seats, Moneybags.
No, I did. We did have good seats. We had good seats.
Well, so why are you watching the Jumbotron?
You can't help but look at it from time to time. It's a Jumbotron. It's not a it's not a Watchman. It's a Jumbotron.
A Watchman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you remember the Watchman?
No, I know the Walkman.
It was Video's version of the Walkman.
Really?
Yes.
What year?
I don't have a year for you.
Shep, have you heard of a Watchman?
No, I thought he was just making it up.
So did I.
Like, I thought he was like, oh, he's just playing off Walkman.
Yeah, that's my
anyway, point. Long story shorter,
Watchman.
We have concert tickets to give away for you today.
Yes,
Dave
we do.
Matthews.
Foo Fighters. And then a basketball camp. But listen, if you want to talk rock music, we can call someone. And get him on as a guest to talk. But then I do think Shep and I should do some sort of music trivia game against each other and install Shep as the heavy favorite. Do you think you would beat me at music more than you beat Grobber at sports, Shep?
At music?
Yeah.
Like, you're giving me credit. I have to get something right. Unless you go Grobber and you just butcher every question, I'm not going to run away from you because I'm not going to get much right myself.
I'm just saying we'd make it very easy. You know, name four Beatles.
It is, dude.
Okay.
Like, I think you're overselling how much or how little you know about music compared to me, because I'm right there with you.
You named a Foo Fighters song.
Well, that's true.
That's
like,
impressive.
I guess by default, then, yeah, I would be a slight favorite, but I don't think I'm a runaway in this at all.
All right, and I want every piece of information that you can find on the Watchman before we get out of here, please. But we will get into this Phil controversy.
Yeah.
That is not, should not. It is not a controversy that is lasting this long, but our industry, Mac, they tend to take things overboard.
Yeah, you think?
Just a little bit.
And I need to apologize to you. I didn't mean to steer us off of your Father's Day gift by talking about the Notre Dame football broadcast booth.
Oh, I don't care.
I apologize. I didn't even react to that, although we've talked about it before. But still,
don't worry
that's
about
where
it.
You were going, and I start talking about Alan Pickett and Don Crickey being fired.
It led to good audio. I am totally
okay,
fine.
Okay, all
don't
right.
Don't worry about it. Well, we had a great Father's
what's
Day.
What's your pop's name?
Tom.
We'll get to Tom again later on because your audience is always changing. I'll ask you in the 5 o'clock hour and we'll pretend like I don't know what he got for Father's Day.
Sounds right? good. Everyone hold your breath until then.
Really? You gave them Northwestern, Notre Dame? No, that's awesome.
That moment of disingenuousness brought to you by the Timeshare Exit Team. Is your timeshare just not getting the hint? Try as you might, there's just no way to dump it. Well, lucky for you, Timeshare Exit Team specializes in breaking up with timeshares that no longer fit your lifestyle. Visit timeshareexitteam.com and learn your options. Some golf audio from over the weekend that'll blow your mind, and I'm pretty sure you haven't heard it. It's next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Calling BS. That is complete nonsense from Phil Mickelson after his round on Saturday.
Oh, you don't think he was content just to hit it anywhere up near the cup and take his two-stroke penalty?
I do not. I don't think he did that calculus that quickly.
Likely not.
I think that Phil blew his putt, was frustrated, was well on his way to shooting a 81 at the time, and he just had a brain fart.
And some people got very upset with him yesterday. The golf cognoscente, yes, the self-righteous group, the sanctimonious golf snobs of America were very full of keyboard muscles on Sunday afternoon late.
They were, and we got a lot of things going right now, got a lot of balls in the air. That was Learning to Fly by the Foo Fighters that we just came back with. So for all you music people out there, Eli is playing another game. He's got the show within
He's
the show.
He's on it, yep.
And then people coming in strong with Watchman takes. Mac, I don't know how I missed out on this technological marvel that was the Sony product back in the early to mid-80s.
Dude, you missed nothing. It was. I don't even know if they were in color. They might have just been black and white, 3-inch little bitty screens.
And you changed channel like you were scanning on a transistor radio
yes.
dial?
It was yes, like it was a rotary dial, yes. The
amazing.
Sony Watchman.
I missed it. I apologize. But yeah, thank you to everyone coming in with links. I've learned so much about the Watchman during the break. But yes, the anger from the journalism, sports journalism, golf community was out of control. Andy North wanted people to think of the children on ESPN, saying that Mickelson, quote, did damage to the millions of kids who look up to him by putting a live ball.
Think of the children?
Think of the children. He said he did damage to the millions of children who watch him.
Boy, I had some sympathy for children over the weekend, but it wasn't because of Phil Mickelson. It's because they were separated from their parents in cages.
Yeah.
That's troublesome.
yeah, right. Exactly. I don't think Phil Mickelson was doing damage to any kids. Rick Riley, dear Phil Mickelson, you need to withdraw from the U.S. Open. Ian O'Connor, why Phil Mickelson should apologize, then withdraw from the U.S. Open. And it went on and on and on. But this is perhaps my favorite from someone who I was not familiar with before, but he was a part of Fox's coverage, a British golf writer, John Hopkins. No affiliation to the university, Johns Hopkins.
Well, that's Johns Hopkins, right?
Correct.
Two of them. But it's like Rogers Hornsby.
Like bicep. And he came in piping hot with his take.
I think he was a chump. I think he made a complete mistake. In Britain, we would call him an ass, a silly ass. What worries me more is that he shows little contrition now. There's not much chastening. He doesn't look to me this morning as though he realizes quite what has happened and how he's offended so many people. And if my judgment is rather severe, then I'm British and I make no apologies for it.
Oof.
Talk about sticking the landing on a take.
Wow. A silly ass.
And if my judgment is harsh, I am British and I make no apologies for it.
Wouldn't it be an arse?
I think it would be an arse.
Don't most people in the UK say arse?
Yeah. I mean, but how do you even refute that? Like, that's checkmate. When he says, yeah, I might be being unreasonable, but I'm British and I'm not apologizing for it. It's like, okay, nothing left to say or do here. But when you watched it, when you saw it for the first time, my initial reaction was to laugh, which just tells me how my sensibilities are so out of touch with my media brethren on this one. I thought it was legitimately laugh out loud funny because it's something that we would do on a golf course, and it was done by multiple time major champion and probably the second most famous golfer in the world, Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, it illuminates what I was talking about last week when I talk about why I love the U.S. Open or why I love the British Open. It's watching those guys suffer at the same level of pain that we suffer. Now, we don't even have to have a ball coming off of a green as he did before we'll whack it in anger every now and again, but he was showing he's human. He was pissed.
Exactly.
And he knows he's going to be penalized for it. And he was.
He said the reporting around it was, you know, that it was him and two other guys playing, and one of them was a young player, and he was like, yeah, I just overheard some stuff. And the guy he was playing with said that Phil was, like, laughing and that he laughed about it. And he said, I don't even know what they're going to score me for that one. But he said to the official scorer, like, just let me know what I should put down in my card.
Yeah, let me know. If it's double digits, I'll write down a 10.
So What I would think about if I'm golf or a golf fan, like a hardcore golf fan coming out of that, is Phil did expose a problem with your rule, right? Like, if you put a ball past the green like that, and that's going to roll off the green.
You mean past the cup.
Past the cup. But, I mean, the thought was that that ball was going to roll off the green.
Yes, it was going to wind up in the short hair off of it.
Right, that he would maybe have to go putter to wedge back to putter. So if he thinks, if he runs and puts that ball while it's moving and hits it on the comeback, and just for the sake of argument, let's say that he had made it, right? Let's say that he makes the comeback putt, and then you add two strokes. Whereas if he puts the ball off the green and then has to chip and then two putts, that's three strokes.
Right.
So he saves himself a stroke strategically. Phil Mickelson highlighted a dumb golf rule.
I think it's a dumb golf rule. I think it ought to be three strokes for that very reason.
Or if you want to say that stopping a ball intentionally while it's moving is an automatic disqualification, I guess fine.
Then say it.
Then say it. But they'd be like, That's not the rule now. So I don't know how people can retroactively say, oh, he disgraced the game so much that he should withdraw. He absolutely took advantage of a loophole in your rules.
You're right.
How is that on Phil?
Yeah, I didn't even know the rule existed prior to the weekend.
Neither did I.
Did anybody? It's not something most of us have ever seen before. Now, we've seen John Daly a few times. We just talked about it last week. Was it the Memorial or the Colonial, where he, in anger, swatted at a ball that was coming back to him for a second or third time, and he withdrew from the tournament?
Yeah.
So that's why there's no discussion of it afterward, what the rules are, because he withdrew.
Right. So I guess I just... Right. We've seen, so if your only comp in professional golf is John Daly, probably not great for the etiquette crowd. Probably right. Not a good team photo that you want to be in. But just in general, I was surprised that more of the discussion was about like the etiquette and besmirching the great game of golf and like sportsmanship, as opposed to, hey, what if that would have happened to someone who's in contention? Brother, what if it's Brooks Koepka and he's up two on Dustin Johnson and a two-stroke penalty puts him now tied, but if he would have cost himself three or four strokes, now he's no longer losing the U.S. Open.
Right.
That's a loophole that golf should close. Like, they should be thanking Phil Mickelson.
I don't know about thanking, but he certainly has exposed something that maybe even a ton of guys, a high percentage of guys who play the sport professionally are not hip to. I would think that a lot of them aren't aware of that.
So you think that there are professional golfers that don't know that rule?
I think it's possible, sure.
Interesting. I would think that you're like a, since it's like a one-man team out there, like, I would think that they all know the rule. And there's an official score at these tournaments walking with every group. You know, when they need to do, can I move this pebble in the bunker? Is this unplayable?
Right.
Do I get a free drop? Like, there's a rules official on hand for any questions that you have.
Never play with a rules official, by the way. As weekend warriors as we are, never step on a golf course with somebody who understands all those rules. It'll be the longest 4 hours you'll ever spend on a golf course.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine being offended by, like, his explanation I thought was ridiculous. Like, he knew he messed up. Right? I don't think in that moment he was trying to game the system for the two strokes.
The more they asked him to talk about it, the angrier and shorter he got, and finally he told everybody to toughen up.
Yes, exactly.
That was late in that two-minute chunk I saw that they took from the post-round match.
But do you think that there's a more sensitive group than the golf fan among fans of sport? Because they used to be able to call in rules violations that they saw on TV, which I always thought was ridiculous.
Yeah, that is kind of stupid.
Like, you're snitching when you're sitting at home watching the...
And it's actually affecting something, potentially.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Like, if the players don't call it themselves or the rules official doesn't call it, then congratulations, you got away with taking three steps instead of two in basketball. Don't snitch from the couch. So good job on them closing that rule. But, like, I just...
So what are you asking? What subculture of sports is the most annoying?
Yeah, I just felt very disconnected to my fellow sports fan. Like, to me, that was a misdemeanor at worst by Phil Mickelson. There's a penalty there. The rule is what it is. Okay, fine, move on. He wasn't going to win the tournament anyway. It was funny and honestly relatable. And then you've got sage golf writers and people on the broadcast.
And people who are from England.
Telling me that he should withdraw from the tournament, apologize, he's upsetting kids, he's a bad influence on the sport. I'm like, what?
And they seem to be sincere when they write and speak these things. Oh, it's not a bit.
Read Ian O'Connor's piece on ESPN. Read Rick Riley at The Athletic. They are serious about it. And I just, like, okay, yeah, he deserves a penalty. Yeah, it absolutely should be against the rules, but like, I don't need a grand apology for a two-stroke penalty from a guy who shot an 81 on Saturday at the U.S. Open. So I'm curious who else is in that kind, because I think I got a few for you that I can give you coming up, and we'll get into the Cubs-Cardinals from the weekend as well, as they just took yet another series.
Stacking them.
2 of 3. It's a good path. Good way to get to 94-95 wins. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
T T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.